name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
On the Sunday after Pentecost, we celebrate all of the saints throughout all time, known and unknown, not just the ones the church has acknowledged, but all different people who live very simple and pious lives in unobtrusive ways, unremarkable ways, unnoticed by the world. It makes sense that we have All Saints Day on Sunday following Pentecost because of the descent of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is poured out on us really for a very simple reason: to make us holy, to inhabit us. In the fallen world, when a diseased person touches another healthy person, the disease gets passed along. That's the big concern about the coronavirus. I have the disease and come in contact with you, now you have the disease. But in the kingdom, things work just the opposite. And we see this repeatedly in the life of Christ. When a healthy person like Christ comes in contact with a sick person, the healthy person doesn't get sick, but he passes on the health. The Holy Spirit comes to pass on the holiness by the touch of the Holy Spirit, the descent of the Holy Spirit into our lives. He's there to make us holy. It's the same thing that we believe about receiving Holy Communion. This touch to our lips of the precious body and blood of Christ, we don't defile it the way that things would happen in the fallen world, but it enlivens and heals us. And so we remember all of the saints throughout all of the ages who have been well pleasing to God, whether we know them by name or not. And the focus really on this feast is that we're all in this together. In the epistle of St. Paul to the Hebrews, we heard today that of all of these, at that time, Old Testament saints, this great cloud of witnesses, they're called, that are around us, surrounding us, embracing us, their life would not be complete or perfect without ours. There would be something missing or lacking, just like without our life. I'm sorry, for us, without their lives, there would be something missing, incomplete, lacking in our lives. That's true for the ones we know. It's obvious. Oh, suppose Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John were unknown to us or didn't write the Gospels. Think of what an impoverished life we would have. But it's also true for those people we know nothing about, that somehow they fitted into the life of the church in such a way that our lives are made fuller and richer by their presence. And there's two places, especially, you know, throughout the liturgy, we often are saying, referencing the Holy Theotokos, the birth giver of God, and all of the saints, asking their intercessions, remembering them. Many different, we've done it already several times, and we'll do it several times more in the Divine Liturgy. But there's two places where we remember the saints in a kind of more elaborate way, and both times you might miss them for various reasons. One is because it's in the service before the liturgy. It's not intended to be secret. You can get a book and read about what goes on there, but I just like to describe one little bit that happens when the priest is preparing the gifts to be offered. There's either one or five loaves of bread. We use one here. And the first piece that's cut out is called the lamb. And that's going to be what we receive the body and blood of Christ from, the communion from. And that is prepared in such a way that with every single slice of the spear that's used to carve out the lamb out of the loaf of bread, some phrase is given that is really connected to our Lord's passion, to his sacrifice for us on the cross, including he's pierced with the spear and blood and water poured from his side, and we pour the wine and the water into the chalice. Now, so I'm not going to go into that in detail, but after that point, there's an abrupt change. After the lamb is made and the water and wine are poured into the chalice, all of a sudden we're no longer talking about the sacrifice, but we cut out a big triangle and put it to the, from our point of view, the left of the lamb, but from the lamb's point of view, who's looking up on the lamb's right. And we say, in honor and memory of our most holy, pure, most blessed, and glorious Lady, the birth giver of God and ever Virgin Mary. And we say, by her prayers, accept this sacrifice on your heavenly altar. And we put the piece of bread, the triangle, on the discus. And we say, and the Queen stood at your right hand, arrayed in golden robes and all glories. And so we switch from focusing on the sacrifice to focusing on the greatest among the saints. And we honor her, remember her, but also ask her intercessions. And then we go to the other side of the lamb, what looks like to us right, but the lamb's left. And we put in 9 pieces of bread for all of the different types or ranks of saints, starting with the angels and archangels, and the archangels Michael and Gabriel, and all the bodiless powers, and then the prophets, mentioned many of them by name, like the John the Baptist, of course, and Moses and Aaron, Elijah and Elisha we remember today. Daniel, 3 holy youths, and all the prophets, put a piece down. Holy apostles, some by name, all the holy apostles, another piece. Hierarchs and ecumenical teachers, another piece. Martyrs, the venerable fathers and mothers, wonder workers and mercenaries, Joachim and Anna, and all of the saints, where we usually remember the saints of the day. And then the saint whose liturgy it is, St. John Chrysostom usually, or St. Basil. And so we construct on the left side of the lamb all of the saints that we're remembering, all on this discourse, all of the people who have gone before us. We don't remember them all by name, we don't even know them all by name, but we always, at the end of every piece, we say, and all of the holy martyrs, and all of the venerable fathers and mothers, more than we can possibly imagine, are here, put, represented, symbolized on this discourse, around the lamb, around the throne. But we don't stop there. We take out another piece and remember our hierarch, our Archbishop Nakis, Archbishop Nathaniel, and start remembering the living. Those of us, all of whenever we fill out a slip of paper with a list of names that we want remembered in the service, we go through their names, loved ones, family members, people that have had important influence in our life, people who are sick, suffering. And then after we go through the living, all of the names that we have, I always add, again, I don't know that this is in the book, but I always add, and all of those known to you, at the end of that. And then we go and take out another, and then we, for each of the names, we put in small little specks of bread. And then cut out another triangle for the departed. The hierarchs, the priests, the deacons that have passed this life before us, haven't been recognized in the church by saints, but through our loved ones, there's people that are important in our lives. And then again, all of the names that you submitted or listed. And so here we are, all gathered around the Lamb, the living and the dead, the ones that are recognized as saints and the ones that we're still praying for in memorial services and longing for. So before the service ever begins proper, the liturgy proper, all of this is gathered together into one discos. And very much it's like standing in the temple where we're surrounded by all of the saints, angels, archangels, saints, and then we come in as the living is still struggling in this world to join our lives to theirs in this divine liturgy. So this is the first place where, in a more elaborate way, we gather all of the saints, all of the living and the departed, all of the holy ones around the Lamb. Now, later in the liturgy, we will, after the Lamb is consecrated, will have a time you all will remember, especially our most holy, pure, most blessed, and glorious Lady, the birth giver of God and ever Virgin Mary. And then we'll sing the Tonaxion. So we remember her. And in that context, during that period of time, we're remembering all different saints, John the Baptist, the holy apostles, the long list of saints of the day. And then again, immediately, this is done in a prayer that the priest usually prays silently, while the people, the faithful, are singing. We'll go through and remember categories of living and departed people. And it's a very common and pious practice that the people, the faithful, will also at that time remember the living and departed in their lives, just where you are. Sometimes you'll see at that point people get, bring out a slip of paper and start reading names. That's because this is the time when we are gathering together, remembering that we're a part of this great and large communion with all of the saints, living and departed, known and unknown. All of this is happening in such a significant and sort of intense and profound way that we make the transition to the litany before the Lord's Prayer by saying, having remembered all the saints. So this is really a kind of sustained focus at the point of the consecration of the gifts and in our movement into communion. The great Nicholas Cavasilos, who wrote in the 14th century, wrote a commentary on the Divine Liturgy, at this point describes how it is that in fact the saints are receiving communion with us, even though they don't have bodies. They're here, present, so tangibly with us, and their desire and longing is so intense and so pure for Christ that even apart from bodies, they are partaking of the Lamb with us. It's very profound and very strong sense of the communion that we have with all of the saints. So, in all of these, both of these cases, the sort of bookends of our Divine Liturgy, the beginning and the end of it, we're remembering them, we're being thankful for them, aware of our dependence on them, and in every case, invoking their intercessions. St. James tells us that the prayer of a righteous man accomplishes much. It's a good thing to go to a person that is very kind of devout and pious and really devoted their life and holiness to God to ask of that person, him or her, for prayers. All the more so for the saints. To ask them, they're living, God's the God of the living. And so we do that repeatedly in the context of the Divine Liturgy. In that sense, you could say that every Divine Liturgy is the feast day of all saints. Every single Divine Liturgy, we remember all of the saints. Known and unknown, our favorite ones and the ones we've never heard about. And we also remember all of those loved ones of ours and all of our relatives going back generations that we don't even know about. We bring all of our connectedness to this world, try to bring it into this communion. This becomes part of this offering on behalf of all and for all. And in this way, we do this as the St. Paul says in the letter to the Hebrews, we do this so that we run this race together. We're not running the race alone. And the race isn't so that I can beat you across the finish line or you can beat me across the finish line. It's simply so that we can finish together. We don't run alone, we run together with a gigantic support team of the saints throughout all the ages. And we run to a very particular destination. We keep our eyes fixed on the finish line. St. Paul tells us that's the author and perfecter of our faith, Jesus Christ. So through the prayers and help of the saints in the context of all of our lives, but especially in the life given to us in the divine liturgy, may we let ourselves enter and remain in that holy communion, being sanctified by the Holy Spirit, and through the prayers and intercessions of all of the saints, become more and more like them, even as they become more and more like Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son.